All right, well, there you can see a little bit more of what Kiribati looks like and what the people are like. And we do thank you for your prayers, but I would ask you to please continue to pray for the people of Kiribati, that they would understand the gospel, that they would see God for who he is, and that that freedom of the gospel would set them free. And I'm thankful for your prayers, but if you could, just continue to pray for the people of Kiribati and pray for our language ability, that we can freely communicate the gospel effectively in their language. We really need your prayers for that. We ask you to pray for it, and keep us in prayer if you wouldn't mind. And these people need to hear the gospel, and God has called us there, and I know God's going to give us the ability to be able to do that, and he has, but what I just ask that you would pray that we'd be able to have a greater working of the knowledge, the language, and to be able to do all those things. Well, if you take your Bibles this evening and turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'll start reading down to verse number 9 of 2 Peter chapter number 1. And verse number 1 down to verse number 9. And while you're turning there, I just want to call your attention to the Word of God this evening. It is the Word of God that changes lives. It is the Word of God that we learn more and more about who God is. Everything that we believe because God says it in His Word. That is our authority. And we go to it and ask for God to reveal Himself for us to be able to live our lives according to the Word of God. And you think about the men and women that have given up their lives so that we can have the Word of God in our hands. What a tremendous opportunity that God has given to us to meet together tonight, to sit down and to open up the Word of God in our language, to read it, and to allow God to speak through His Word to our hearts. You know, that's a privilege that I so many times take for granted, but yet there are so many people around this world that don't have the opportunity to sit down and to have a Bible in their language to read. Some may have the Bible to read it, but they cannot come together and worship together with the Bible in hand in fear of being put in prison. And I'm thankful tonight that we have the freedoms that we have to hold the Word of God and to ask God to do a great work in our hearts. You know, if I was to ask you, how many of you know what's going to happen to you tomorrow? None of us could raise our hand and say, this is what's going to happen to me. We can raise our hand and say, this is what I'm planning on doing tomorrow, but I don't know. We don't know the future of what's going to take place in our lives. But you know, as we read the Word of God, and we read in the Old Testament and in places like Isaiah 53, we read of prophecies that were told before they came about. We were told about Jesus Christ. We were told that He'd be despised and rejected of men. We were told in other places the actual city that He would be born in. And we're told that when He was crucified, not one of His bones would be broken. And all of these things are told about hundreds of years before they came to be. Did men know what was going to take place in that many details? No. But God did. And when we're reading the Word of God, we're hearing from God. And I'm thankful that we can rely upon it. We can rest upon it as being 100% truth. Why? Because God cannot lie. And He gave it to us to read it, and to memorize it, and to apply it to our lives. You know, if you travel around the world and you meet different people that believe different things and different religions that you come across, then a lot of those religions follow a holy book that they hold as their authority. But you know what? We're the only ones that hold to a Bible that is 100% fulfilled prophecy. The accuracy that took place is amazing. It's a miracle. The Word of God is a miracle that we're holding in our hands this evening. Other holy books may have a few fulfilled prophecy that they might happen by chance to come about, but none of them have what we have in the Word of God. We can trust it. We can rely upon it. But you know what Satan likes to do? He likes to get in and say, "Did God really say that?" That's what he did back in the Garden of Eden when he came to Eve, trying to make Eve doubt the Word of God. But tonight I stand up in confidence knowing that we can trust the Word of God. We can rely upon it this evening. And I'm thankful that we can. It's not my words that mean anything. It's God's words that we can rely upon and rest upon. Let's read that this evening. And as I read along, I want you to read with me silently and asking God to reveal himself to you tonight through this passage of Scripture. Verse number 1 says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Let's look to the Lord in prayer this evening. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And Father, I pray that you would help us tonight as we look into your word, that you would, by your Spirit, make these words come alive and into our minds and into our hearts, that we would not be distracted from the cares of the day, but Father, that you would help us to set all those things aside and ask you right now to do a great work in our hearts tonight. And Father, may you help us to gain a greater burden to see people understand who you are, and that they would be filled with the knowledge of you and of your words. And Father, I pray that your will would be done tonight, that you would help us, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us what we need tonight. We ask that we would hear from you. And Father, thank you for this opportunity that you've given to us. And I pray that you would work in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was to describe to you tonight the people of Kiribati, I would describe to you people that are living in fear. People that are very fearful. As I began to live with the people of Kiribati and began to understand the way that they think and the way that they do certain things, because it's not exactly the way that we do certain things because they grew up differently than the way we grew up. And as I was learning the culture and the people of Kiribati, I began to learn a few things about them. One thing that I learned is when they're building their buildings and their structures, they would build an odd amount of rafters in their houses. If you know anything about building, you want to try to put an even amount so it's spaced out evenly so it doesn't crash in and fall in on you while you're sleeping. But they put an odd amount of rafters, and I begin to ask, why would you put an odd amount of rafters up in the ceiling? And their answer to me was, because if there's an even amount of rafters, the evil spirits will come and live with inside of our ceiling, and they'll do bad things to our family. Living in fear of what might happen to them by certain things that they do. Then you travel around the world and you go to different places and different countries, and you'll find some people in tribal lands very far back in the jungles, and you'll see that they're having feathers on their heads, and they paint their faces, and we look at them and we say, that looks very strange. Why would somebody do something like that? And then we begin to realize when we learn about those people, they're trying to please the gods that their ancestors told them about. Trying to help earn some kind of satisfaction either with those gods or some kind of god that's out there somewhere. Living in fear of what's going to happen to them in the future. But I bring it down to our level here tonight. And we go around and we start meeting people around us. We find out very soon that we meet people that are very fearful. Fearful of what's going to happen in the future. And that makes them do crazy things at times. But I take that one step farther and I bring it into the church. Even though we don't need to have a fear of what's going to happen to us when we die, because we know that the Bible tells us that if we've been born again, we know that if Jesus Christ is our Savior, we do not have to fear judgment of God. Because the judgment of God is going to be released from us. Because it's placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're not careful as believers tonight, if we get our minds and our hearts focused off of who God is and what He's done in our lives, it's easy for us to become fearful of what's going to happen. Maybe we're afraid of what's going to happen to our country. And we should be not fearful, but we should be concerned. And we should be praying and we should be doing our part and trying to turn back our country to back towards God. But we don't need to live in fear because we serve a God that is in control. We serve a God that knows where we are. We serve a God that created us with the personality that He has given to us, and we have no excuse to do what God has created us to do. Now, is what God has created me to do different from what He has given you to do? Yes. But there's something for all of us that are believers tonight to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? How can I help somebody where I'm at understand who you are? In a greater way. We need to understand what verse number 2 tells us tonight. That grace and peace be multiplied unto us through what? Through the knowledge of God. That's been our desire for the Kiribati people. That they would understand who God is. That God is a just God. God is a holy God. And God will punish sin. But because He is merciful, because He is loving, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross. That we can be forgiven and not experience the wrath of God. We need to understand who God is tonight. And we need to grow continually in our knowledge of God. Our desire has, when we go to Kiribati, is not just to merely teach standards or certain things that we hold to as convictions. Yes, it's great to have standards, it's great to have convictions, but if it's lacking the knowledge of God, then what are they doing? They're coming down and it's just another religion obeying rules and regulations and no heart is involved. If we attack the heart, go after the heart and show them who God is, then God can transform that life from the inside out and standards become no problem following any longer. I see it a lot in colleges that you see it. People come into college and they're some of them are excited about serving God. They want to do what God wants them to do. And they're there to learn about God. And they come in and they have no problems with the roles if you go to a Christian college. But then I've seen other guys that come in and say they're just there because they have to be there, and they're not focused on what God wants them to do, and they're obeying the rules and regulations, but they're complaining all the whole time that they're there, because it's based upon obeying a list of rules and regulations. What people need is an understanding of the knowledge of God. And that can take root into our hearts, and that can change our lives from the inside out. Grace and peace can be multiplied through the knowledge of God. But isn't it true that the cares of this world can choke out our desire to learn more about God? That's sad when that takes place. But it happens. If we're not careful, if we're not watching, we need to be careful that we're growing in our knowledge of who God is. So tonight, as we look at this passage together, let's look at a few things that God is revealing himself here in this passage. You know, that's the purpose of the Word of God, is to reveal himself. Starting with Genesis and going all the way to Revelation, God is continually revealing more and more about his character and about who he is. And he's also revealing us at the same time who we are and how we've offended him. And how he loves us. And how he wants to buy back people from sin. What a beautiful book that we have this evening. Let's look at verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. You know that Peter is writing this here, and he's writing to the church. And you know, the first Peter is written to Christians that are scattered abroad all over the place because of persecution. But 2 Peter was written for a different purpose and different intent. It was to reveal to the people that there's false teachers coming in and teaching things that are against the Word of God. And he's trying to expose in 2 Peter these false teachers so they do not come in and destroy the true church. And as he's teaching, he starts out by giving a very basic principle, but a principle that we can hold on to. That false doctrine needs to be fought with truth. And as he's revealing who God is to these people, the more that we know about God, the less we're going to follow false teaching. Because we have the truth in God. But if I was writing this, and you know, if I was Peter, I would want to leave off that first name, Simon. Because Simon has the idea with it that it's a name that he was maybe known for not being very stable, not being very good, or maybe something that was bad in his life. And you remember the time that he was even denying that he was with the Savior. But we know that later on in Peter's life, as he grew and as he learned more about the knowledge of God, he ended up being crucified for God and serving God. What made that change? He knew God in a greater way. And he was willing to stand up. But you know, the second word there, Peter, Simon Peter, is the idea of a change that took place in his life. Simon, yes, once known for not being very stable, not being very faithful, but now he's known as being the rock, steadfast, faithful. There's a change that took place. And he's revealing to and he's showing these people that, hey, I'm not perfect. I went from one thing and now God has transformed me into something else. Aren't you glad that we all can stand up and say that? My life was nothing. I was not where I should have been. But when God came, saved me from my sin, transformed my life, and began to work in my life, now God is pleased. And that's a continual process in our lives. God is molding and making us to what he wants us to be. But notice, let's keep going here. Simon Peter, a servant. A servant. Could we say that about your name tonight? Could we put your name here and say, but maybe if I was doing it, I'd put Sam Snyder, a servants of God. I hope so. That's what we need, is more servants of God. You know, a servant doesn't stand up, and when the master tells the servant what to do in the Bible times, the servant didn't get up and say, you know, I don't feel like doing that this morning, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do what the master told me to do. Rejecting what God tells us to do. As a servant, they didn't have that opportunity. They didn't have that ability to do that. All they could do is say, yes, sir. Are you truly a servant tonight? When God wants you to do something, you say, well, you know, that's not very nice to do, or that's not, people aren't going to look at me and say, wow, look at that great ministry that you have or you're involved in. People aren't going to say that about if I serve you in that way, God. Servants don't have that ability. Servants say, okay, with your help, I'll do it. No matter what God wants us to do, let's have a servant spirit, a servant's attitude. That's what we need. That's what God wants us. That's what Jesus Christ came as a servant to seek and to save those which are lost. Do we have a servant's heart tonight? Do you have a servant's heart tonight? Important question to ask yourself. Let's keep going. To them that have obtained like precious faith. Wow. Is your faith precious to you tonight? Does it mean something to you? When somebody comes up and tries to say something against your faith, are you going to stand up and defend it? If you came into my house in the intent of harming my family, you're going to meet something at the door that you're not going to be very happy with. I'm not going to let you just come in and hurt my family. Why? Because they're precious to me. I'm going to stand up and say, hey, what are you doing in my house? Get out of here. And protect my family because they're precious. Do you view your faith as being precious to you? Would you defend it when people are dragging your Savior's name in the mud? Would you stand up? Is your faith precious enough for you to do it? You know, that little word like there, like precious faith, it's a beautiful word. We know that there's different abilities that people have, and there's different knowledge that we have. And you know, there are people that know more about God at certain stages in their lives, but you know what? When it all comes down to it, we're all in the same playing field. We all have the same precious faith. So that means I can't go around and say, look what I have. Look where I have reached in my spiritual life. Look at me, what I have done. No, Peter's coming to them and saying, listen, I'm just a servant that was changed from being Simon now to Peter, and I'm just trying to serve God, and we have the same precious faith. Let's continue to keep it precious. Let's continue to fight for it. Let's continue to keep it pure. And as he's going along, he's teaching these things, and then he goes on and says, through the righteousness of God. Our faith comes to us through what? Through the righteousness of God. That little word righteousness there is not very little. It's a nice word. It's a beautiful word. It's a word that it's all through Scripture. And I want to take a few minutes tonight and just give you a little insight, a little view of this word righteousness. What a beautiful word. As you read your Bible and you understand that righteousness is what we really need. Reading in the Psalms, we know that the Bible talks about the righteous and how that they will be blessed and how that they will be rewarded. But then you see the wicked and how they'll be punished. It's important that we understand this word righteousness. Right standing before God. I like to try to do a little exercise sometimes where you take a little piece of paper and on the top left-hand side, you write the name Jesus Christ. And then you go down through that, on that side of the paper and you write all the things that are true about Jesus Christ. He's merciful. He's loving. He's just. He's holy. And you can go, list can go on and on and on and on and on. Then on the other side of the paper, you put your name, and I would put Sam Snyder. And then I would list all the sins that categorize my life. A thief, a liar, proud, boaster. The list can go on and on and on. But at Calvary, Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, He became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. At the top of the paper at Calvary, the names were switched. And when I read my name, I read the righteousness of God. I see the attributes of God that applied to my life. It's through the righteousness of God that was given to us through the precious gift of God the Son, God in the flesh, who came and died on the cross, shed His blood, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You say, what's so important about the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it important tonight? It's important to God. You can't read your Bible and not see that. You can go back in Genesis, and when Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, and they tried to cover themselves up and tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. God wasn't satisfied with that. What happened? He came and shed the blood of an animal and clothed them with coats of skins. Blood had to be shed because the penalty of sin is death. And blood pictures life. And blood had to be shed in order to appease a holy God. Then you go to Cain and Abel. Cain brought what he did with his hands, and Abel brought a more acceptable sacrifice, a blood sacrifice that had to be shed. Then you go to the children of Israel that are in bondage in Egypt, and what did God tell them to do? To take a lamb and shed his blood, to put the blood on the doorposts. And when they saw the blood, judgment would pass over that household. When the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is applied to our lives, when we come by faith, trusting Him and Him alone, resting in what He has done on the cross of Calvary and resting upon His shed blood, that shed blood is applied to our account, applied to our lives. And when God sees us, He sees the blood, and His judgment will be passed over us. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be in the judgment of God. You think about, you read in Psalms 97, a psalm that I was just reading this morning, and it talks about the judgment of when Jesus Christ is going to come back in judgment, and it talks about the mountains that will be melted like wax. And the fire is going to be poured out on God's enemies, on the unrighteous. But those that are righteous, the judgment is passed over. I'm glad we serve a God that we can rely upon. I'm glad we serve a God that is holy and just, but is willing to forgive us when we come His way. There's so much more in this passage that we could talk about tonight, but you can take it on your own time, and you can read it. But I ask you, how well do you know God tonight? I ask you, what are you resting in? What are you truly resting in? Are you resting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus tonight? If not, you're in trouble. But if you're resting fully in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can rejoice. We can hope. We can rest. Because judgment will not come. Praise the Lord for that. But you know what? I think all of us know people that need to hear about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can't find any, you can come to Kiribati and you can tell many about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that can set them free. That's the only thing that can. That's the only hope that we have. But praise God, that's sufficient. It's more than we need. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this evening for the time that you have given to us. And Father, I pray that you would take your word and that you would help us to learn more from you. And Father, I pray if there's one in here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that they would come and ask you as their only hope, as their only satisfaction. And Father, I pray that you would do a work tonight. And Father, I pray those of us that have accepted you as Savior, I pray that we would come tonight and just ask you to reveal yourself in a greater way, that we would be able to know you in a greater way so we can trust you for greater things in our lives. Father, may you have your will and your way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wonder tonight if you could put your name in 2 Peter 1. Where it says, Simon Peter, a servant of Jesus Christ. Could I put Gary Seaman, a servant of Jesus Christ? Could you put your name there? This morning as I was having devotions, I said, Lord, today, help me to please you in everything I do. How can you do that? Well, you got to be a servant. Did your day, today, did you please the Lord in all you did? Were you a servant? Folks, when we realize who God is and what God has done, we will serve him with all of our hearts. Our invitation time tonight, if you're not sure you're a child of God, not sure you're under the blood of Christ, the Word of God says today is the day of salvation. But if you are, if you've been made righteous by the blood of Christ, then God has called us to serve him. And that thought just struck me. Can I put my name in chapter 1 and verse 1? If you can't, we need to make some changes. I'm going to have you stand together just for a moment. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Ladies playing, all to Jesus I surrender. God has spoken to your heart tonight. You say, Gary, you know what? I'm not a Christian. You ought to get saved tonight. You say, Gary, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a servant. I'm not Christ's servant. Why don't you come? Put your life on the altar and become a servant of Jesus Christ. And make it your goal every day to please him with all of your life. Just one stanza. You come quickly. See you back with us. They've had an accident and they're evidently you're on the mend since you're here. Good. Mary's still struggling, I take it? Well, we've been praying for y'all and pray the Lord will lift you up. Thank the Lord. They were coming back from Nashville and hydroplaned and had a terrible accident and some bruising and soreness. But thank the Lord he spared your life and you're back with us. And you heard Pastor talk about how when they were in the accident, they were standing outside their car handing out tracts. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Good. Sam, why don't you gather your family together and go on back to the lobby and come by and you get to meet the Snyders. And great to have you all with us. And let's pray and we'll go. Lord, we do pray that you would help us tomorrow to make up our minds and to be helped by heaven to please you in all that we do. Help us, Lord, to be your servants tomorrow to do whatever you want to do. Lord, to obey you no matter what. Help us to put a smile on your face with our life tomorrow, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. You are dismissed. Sorry.